Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Dr. Ivan Meisner is the founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, the world's largest business networking organization. Founded in 1985, the organization now has over 10,000 chapters throughout every populated continent of the world. He is a New York Times bestselling author who has written 26 books, including one of his latest books, Who's in Your Room? He's also a columnist for Entrepreneur.com and has been a university professor, as well as a member of the Board of Trustees for the University of L.A. Verne. Called the father of modern networking by both Forbes and CNN, Dr. Meisner is considered to be one of the world's leading experts on business networking and has been a keynote speaker for major corporations and associations throughout the world. And he is on the Sort of Success podcast today. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so delighted to have you with me today, Dr. Meisner.
Oh, it's so good to be here. And Pat, please call me Ivan.
Okay, thank you. I will. So I'd like to hear a little bit about how you came up with the idea for BNI back in 1985.
You know, BNI is really a great example of necessity being the mother of invention. I needed referrals for my consulting practice. My doctoral work is in organizational behavior. I went to networks that were very mercenary. You know, I'd go to these meetings and everyone was trying to sell to me, and I would leave thinking that I'd been slimed and I needed to go home and get a shower. And then I went to these networks that were all social. It was happy hour and hors d'oeuvres and nobody was doing business. Many people weren't even wearing name tags. And I'm like, you can't do business like that. So what I wanted to put together was a network that had a focus on business, but wasn't mercenary. Mm-hmm. And had a focus on relationships, but wasn't social, totally social. And the glue that would hold it together is our principal core value of giver's gain. Yeah. This idea that if I help you, you'll help me. We all do better as a result of it. And it just took off. Much to my surprise, I just wanted one group. That's it.
All right.
For my consulting practice and to help my friends. And people kept coming to me and saying, this is great. Help me open up a group. Help me open up a group. And at the end of the first year, I had 20 groups without a plan.
Wow.
And it was at that point that I realized, okay, we don't teach this in colleges and universities. This is much bigger than I thought it would be. And it was in December of 1985 that I sat down and I wrote my plan to scale the company. And BNI now has over 280,000 members in more than 70 countries around the world.
That is just amazing. That's a true testament to the need for that sort of networking. And so what's changed over the years from 85 to before COVID? Let's just talk about that.
Yeah, to before COVID. You know, I think, I don't think a lot has changed in terms of human behavior. You know, people now post-COVID is slightly different, but not as different as some people may think. So, you know, people needed relationships, and we still don't teach this in colleges and universities. Yeah. There are no universities teaching networking, social capital, emotional intelligence. I did a survey in one of my books and I asked a question, 12,000 people I surveyed, and I asked the question, has networking played a role in your success? 91.4% of the respondents said yes.
Wow.
When have you ever seen 91% of any group of people agree to anything ever? Yet we still don't teach it in school. So I think that a lot really didn't change. The biggest change was that the media used to think it was a fad. My number one question I was asked in the mid 80s was, isn't this networking thing just a fad? This formal networking thing, isn't it a fad? Now I'm never asked that question.
Yeah. Well, you proved that wrong. So now what happened during COVID? How was that a blessing for you or?
Well, you know, we turned lemons into lemonade. I'll tell you, I wrote an article back in 2018 that's published at entrepreneur.com that says the future of face-to-face is online.
Yeah.
I wrote that in 2018.
Yeah.
And I wrote that because of the advancing technologies, mixed reality, holographic technologies, 3D, 3D imaging technologies. And when I wrote that, my organization was like, oh no, say it's not so. I can't believe the founder of BNI is saying it's online. It's like, hey, you know, I'm sure a couple of them are going, well, he's getting a little old. Maybe he's, you know, he's not all there anymore. I'm like, no, come on.
He's lost touch with reality.
Well, and the fact that I said, hey, if we ever get to holographic images like they had in Star Wars, you know, with the Jedi Knights, there'd be a holographic Jedi and a real Jedi. I would say, and when we get to that point, I want to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I think maybe some people thought I was losing it. But then look what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it happened not because of the technology, although thank goodness the technology was good enough to be able to do things like we did, which was to transition. We literally transitioned in a matter of weeks in every country that we transitioned in. And we did our first country in January of 2020.
Wow.
Which was China. We flipped China to online in January. And the credit goes to the CEO of BNI, Graham Weimiller, who he was looking around a corner and made that flip. By March of 2020, we had all 10,000 of our chapters meeting online.
Wow.
We went from weekly, I mean, you got to get the perspective, weekly in-person meetings, 10,000 of them, flipped to weekly online meetings, literally in a matter of weeks.
Yeah. I think that's one of the greatest things that has come out of COVID is that we, as people, got caught up to the technology. Yeah. You know, the technology was there waiting for us to get onto it.
Could you imagine if it had happened in the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have been ready.
No, we would have had no fallback.
Yeah.
Other than the telephone. And I'm not sure they even had telebridge lines in the 80s. They might have had them in the early 90s, but yeah, we would have really struggled.
Yeah. And so what do you think is going to happen in the future now as things are starting to open up?
So I recently published an article on my blog, which is ivanmeisner.com, where we did a survey of our members. And we asked them, what do you want to go back to? Do you want to go back to, you know, what's your opinion? Do you want to go back to in-person only meetings, online only meetings, or a blend of online and in-person? A combination. Now, if we'd asked that question in December of 2019, or even January of 2020, it would have been 95%. What are you talking about? Of course, in person.
Yeah.
But that number has switched to a blend of online and in-person, almost 51%.
Wow.
Said a blend of online and in-person. Another 16% said online only. So the blend online and in-person and online represents almost 67%, two-thirds of the organization. And only one-third said, oh yeah, in-person only.
Yeah.
Only a third.
And could you trace who those individuals were? Was it industry specific?
Well, you know, our industries, we didn't ask industry. We might be able to trace country. It was a global survey. Mm-hmm. And we might be able to trace their profession. I'm not sure we asked that question, but you know, most of our professions are, you know, they're people that are service providers to the public or to business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're providing any kind of product or service to the public or business to business, you'll be interested potentially in being in BNI.
Yes.
So it's a broad range.
So one of the drawbacks for me with BNI was that meeting every week because my husband and I are part of our business is the golf industry. And so we travel a lot in the winter because we live in the north. So we're gone for 2 to 3 months in the wintertime.
That won't work. But if you're online.
Yes, exactly. So now if there's virtual only, totally virtual, that would be.
But even if it was a blend, the blend would likely, we haven't made a decision, we're still investigating, but the blend would likely be 3 meetings a month online and 1 in person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which means most people would be able to be a member if they're gone for 3 months, because that's still within the limit.
I love it. So excited about that. That's excellent. Good.
Me too. And so I think in the long run, it will actually help our organization. Because it'll make it easier to stay a member as your business grows and you have to travel.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. So let's talk a little bit about scaling a business.
Yeah.
So I know you're working on your garage to global. Is that?
Yeah, we just started working on that book. We have a long ways to go. It won't be out for 2-3 years at least.
So why don't we talk a little bit about what it takes to scale a business?
Yeah. So, you know, there are a number of things to scale a business successfully. One of them is that you have to create systems that are replicable. You have to create systems. You got to write them down. You got to train people on those systems. And you write them down and train them, because education is a leaky bucket process. If you train me on how to do something, some of the information leaks out. And when I train somebody else, more information leaks out. When they train someone else, now you have a half a bucket of information. When that happens, people start throwing their own stuff in.
And that's like that whisper technique, when you whisper something in somebody's
telephone
ear.
Game. Yeah. So it's very important that you have systems and you do training based on those systems. You want to write everything down. Here's another scaling thing. And whenever I say this, and if I'm doing a large audience, I have an Ivan Meisner bobblehead doll. And I have a video of it, and I hit it because when I bring this up, you got to set goals. And people go, I know. No, seriously, you can't hit a target you're not aiming at.
Yeah.
So here's two ideas for your audience that they may not have heard before,
okay,
or may not heard quite like this. One is reverse engineer your goals. So when you set your goals for the year, reverse engineer them. Where do you want to be in November? Where do you want to be in October? Where do you want to be in September, in August, in July, in June? Where do you want to be at the end of this month? Mm-hmm. Because what tends to happen is people, they'll set goals, and then they look at, you know, it's March and they go, oh, what were my goals? Oh man, I'm nowhere near it. You know, and they're like, oh, it's too late to catch up. So you got to reverse engineer it, and you got to know your numbers. I literally get a daily report as to how many chapters we have. I know that as of yesterday, we had 10,182 chapters worldwide. So you got to know your numbers, and reverse engineer them is one way to stay on top of it. Here's the second suggestion that I have for setting goals. And that is that you should consider doing three levels of goals. Three levels. The highest level is I'm dancing on the roof. You know, it was a big stretch, but you made it. That's big celebration time. Your second level is your target. That it should be a stretch, but you really think it's doable. Mm-hmm. The third level is it's called the floor. Mm-hmm. If you can't hit that, maybe you should be in a different business. And
you better run to your B&I chapter right now.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, those are a few. Well, let me give you good for a few more?
Yes, absolutely.
Here's probably the biggest one for entrepreneurs. You want to be successful in business? Do 6 things 1,000 times, not 1,000 things 6 times. Do 6 things 1,000 times, not 1,000 things 6 times. And it doesn't have to be 6, it could be 5, it could be 7, but you got to do things over and over and over consistently. And I see these businesses that they keep jumping around chasing bright, shiny objects, looking for the magic pill that will turn their business around or make it more successful. What makes it successful is consistent application of good concepts. So where do you get the good concepts? You get the good concepts from podcasts like this, from, you know, people that you want to follow. You read their material, you apply it, and you apply it consistently over time. And then when you have it figured out based on the people you trust as valued advisors, then you do those 6 things 1,000 times. If I have any superpower at all as a business person, it is that I am a dog with a bone. I will work it and work it and work it until I get what I want. Let me give you one more thing, and this would be really probably towards the end of the book. I think it's very important for an entrepreneur to understand that they need to work in their flame and not in their wax.
Work in their flame
and not in their wax. Their flame, the things that they're excited about, the things that make them passionate. You know, when you see somebody working in their flame, they're on fire. You can hear it in their voice. You can see it in the way they behave. When someone's working in their wax, it takes all their energy away. And the truth is, you can hear that in their voice.
Yes.
And you can see that in the way they behave. And so what's important is that you got to find people who your wax is their flame. And surround yourself with people whose flame is your wax. And I'll tell you a true story. One of the first people that I hired when B and I started to grow was a bookkeeper, because I hated bookkeeping. I could do it. I know how to do financial statements. I understand it, but I just didn't like it. So I hired this bookkeeper. And one day she came to me after being with me for 6 weeks. And she came to me and she said, "Oh, Ivan, it took me about 2 hours, but the books weren't balanced. We were 5 cents off. And I found the 5 pennies and it's totally, totally balanced." And I told a friend of mine that, and he said, "Did you reprimand her?" I said, "Why would I reprimand her?" "Because she spent 2 hours trying to find 5 cents. I said, no. I congratulated her." He said, "Why would you do that?" I said, "Because what if it were $50?
Yeah.
You wouldn't go home at night, right? Yeah. $50, oh no." For me, if it had been me, close enough. Rounding error, that's close enough.
Yeah, right.
I didn't like it. So find people, their flame is your wax. Yeah. And that helps you scale, because you're putting people who are passionate about what they do in the job.
Yes. So do you agree with that philosophy of you yourself should find those things that you're the very best at, and that's what you maximize, and find people to fill in the other areas?
Yes. As long as the things you're best at, you like, because there are some things that I'm good at that I don't really particularly like to do. Or this is even more common. Things change over time. When I started BNI, I created, I transitioned it to a franchise. I was the franchisor. I was, King Thoden leading the charge out in front of everybody doing battle in the franchise. I got tired of that after 30 years. 30 years of that? It's like, yeah, I've been there, done that. And now, even though I was good at it and I could still do it, but you do it long enough. Now I'm sort of the Colonel Sanders of BNI. You know what I mean? I'm the spokesperson, and that's what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you caught that or not, but I'm passionate about this.
Yeah,
I love pouring into people and talking to people about what it takes to be successful in business. And the lesson there is that it's okay to transition what is your flame over time. Mm-hmm. It's okay to make that transition, and I certainly have done it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yes. So one thing that I ask everybody who's on with me is, what are 3 traits that you think people need to have when you see those in someone, like a franchisee or someone, that you know they'll soar to success because they have those 3 traits?
Yeah, well, I told you I studied under Warren Bennis at USC, and once I talked to him about the traits of a leader, and of course, he was the world's leading expert in his day before John Maxwell now, and I talked to him about the traits of an expert, and he was like, "Okay, tell me what the traits of an expert are," and I told him, and he said, "Well, what about this trait, this trait, and this trait?" I said, "Well, yeah, they could also be good traits," and he said, "Well, what about this trait, this trait?" Yeah, they could also. He said, "Look, traits." He told me, this is what he told me. Traits are secondary. The key is, how do you operate on those traits?
Okay.
How do you use those traits? So I'll give you a couple of traits, but it's really how you use them.
Okay.
Because there are people with completely different traits that are great leaders, that are very successful. Mm-hmm. So here's a couple that I think are really important. Contextual intelligence. It's very important to understand the context of the situation that you have before you. Because if you use a cookie cutter to make all your decisions, to be a leader, to scale a business, you'll fail.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand the context of the situation. Mm-hmm. The second one would be adaptive capacity. The ability to adapt based on understanding the contextual intelligence. So if you understand it but can't adapt, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
So those are two that are really, really relevant. I'll give you one more that I think is important for a leader of a company to scale. And that is you. I believe you need to be the culture champion. You need to be nobody can be the culture champion as well as the CEO or the founder of a company. Yeah. And so, I believe culture eats strategy for breakfast. Culture is the secret sauce of what makes an amazing business. And when you have an incredible culture, you know, people are a little more forgiving.
Yeah.
When you make a mistake, because they love the culture. Whereas, you know, you could have the best strategy in the world, the best systems in the world, but if you have a marginal culture or a bad culture, you'll get no leeway. You know, they'll take no prisoners because you don't have a good culture. And so I think that leaders of a company need to be the culture champions. And that means you need to know the core values. Mm-hmm. You need to be talking about the core values, and you need to be, more important than anything, living the core values, because it's the core values that create the culture.
And do you think that people who don't have that, the culture, are the companies now that are having trouble getting their employees to come back after COVID?
Much more so, yeah. They're susceptible to problems, huge problems like the pandemic. I mean, look, people say to me, you don't understand, I have this kind of business. But, you know, 10,000 in-person meetings. We ended the year, Pat, we ended the year with more members than we started the year.
That's fabulous. Yeah.
And so that was 36 years of consecutive growth. There are very few companies in the world that you can point to that can show that they have had 36 years of consecutive growth. And I honestly think that one of the reasons that we grew during the craziest year I have ever experienced in my life was because we have such an amazing culture that people were able to make that transition. And part of that culture is our philosophy of giver's gain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And giver's gain to me is more than a phrase. It's a way of living one's life. Mm-hmm. It's a perspective to view and interact with the world. It's an attitude, not an expectation. And when it's applied properly, it'll change your life. And when it changes enough lives, it'll change the world.
Yeah.
And that's the culture that we've tried to create in my organization. But anybody can do it. Yeah. Anybody can do it if they're clear on what their values are and they're passionate about sharing them. Anyone can create a great culture or repair a culture in a company.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you so much. So how can people find out more about what books you have coming up? How can they find out about how to join BNI and find a chapter that's close to them, et cetera?
BNI.com. We have over 10,000 chapters. Go there and you can do a search on chapters near you. There's still most of them meeting online, but there'll probably be some kind of blend eventually. And then I have a blog, IvanMeisner.com. I've been blogging twice a week since 2007.
Wow.
Tons of content up there. It's all free. And certainly on my blog, any books that I've got coming out, I just came out with a book called The Connector Effect, How to Become a Master Connector. And that book just came out on Amazon, hit a bestsellers list on Amazon. So
excellent.
My blog's the best place to go to for that.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking this time to be with me today. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think we have a lot of great information for people.
Thanks, Pat. And this is my flame. I love it.
Excellent. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.